You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. My name is T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster.
And we are joined by some, what can we call, distinguished guests today. Yes, very distinguished. We have Courtney in the building.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Also known as Ilsie. What should we call you?
Formerly known.
Formerly known, sorry.
He's not ill.
Oh. I've had my Damascus moment.
Oh, right. What was the story behind the name Ilsie anyway?
Just, I grew up.
Oh.
Right.
I see. Ilsie. Sorry, I'm so stuck in my old ways. Forgive me, Lord. But tell us who you are, why you are here. Why did we choose you? You are a... Tell us the role.
Okay, so artist, pastor, and mental health survivor. You're gonna call it that.
All round cool dude. And then we also have Chico and Tari here. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Oh, what's up? Nice to have you guys with us. So, Cookie Monster, today we are talking about mental health.
Yes.
And I believe this was to help you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is a subject I know absolutely nothing about.
Yeah.
Do you think I need help, though?
I don't know. Maybe you should ask our listeners.
You keep saying this, so I'm getting concerned. Or do you need help? I know you need help.
I believe we both need help.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, actually, in Zim needs help. Okay, mentally we are all messed up.
Yeah, we're a mess.
Dealing with what we deal with on a daily basis.
No,
so
seriously, it's crazy.
That is why we decided to actually address the issue of mental health, and that is why we brought Chico and Tari in here, because they have studied this. They have studied to show themselves approved in this area.
Yeah.
Chico's a research psychologist.
Okay, why don't we do this? Can we just let her tell us who she is?
Like,
stop stealing her thunder.
Professor.
Okay, so I'm a mental health researcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing mental health research in Zimbabwe for the past couple of years.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Wow, sounds fun.
I know, right? And Tari?
I'm a clinical psychologist and also a researcher. Mm-hmm. And I've been working in mental health in Zimbabwe for the past, since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where were you when I needed you?
Always here. You didn't look for me.
No, okay, so you know what I want to know? Like, when you say researcher, what does that mean?
Okay, so what we do, we usually have an interesting idea or problem that we want to look at,
mm-hmm.
And we go out to seek answers for it. So we don't assume things,
mm-hmm.
But we actually go out and scientifically try to get answers from whatever it is we're looking at, whether it's depression or anxiety or any other mental health condition that's there.
Yep.
Okay.
So how are you different from like a counselor? Or are you different?
I am different. Tari is both.
Mm-hmm.
But she's more a clinical psychologist. So clinical psychologist and counselor is also different.
Mm.
And she can explain.
Please.
Okay, so if you're a clinical psychologist, you first of all assess what condition someone might have before you provide talk therapy.
Right.
So if you come to me and you have a problem, I'll do an assessment and then I'll look at whether you have depression or anxiety or if it's psychosis. And then after that, we'll choose a talk therapy, usually evidence-based, that we will use to help you with a problem.
Right.
Whereas if you go to a counselor, most of the times you're getting advice on how you can deal with your problems. So the difference is in that I deal more with mental health and the conditions, and before I help you, I know exactly what you have because I would have done the examination.
Okay.
Yeah.
And while we're at that, can you maybe give us a definition of what mental health is? Because, you know, one of the things that I come across a lot is that when we speak of mental health, especially from an African Zimbabwean point of view, you know, people have this weird perception about mental health, you know, that someone is going cuckoo or that there's issues or they're demon possessed. You know, there's all kinds of beliefs about what mental health is. And yet, even, you know, even the belief that it's a Western thing, it's a white thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it actually mean? Like, what is the definition of mental health?
Okay. So I'll give you the definition according to the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
They say that mental health is a state of well-being in which every individual realizes his or her own potential and can cope with normal stresses of life,
mm-hmm.
can work productively, and is able to make a contribution to her or his community.
Hmm.
And then maybe just to make it clear what mental health is, they go on to define health in general.
Okay. Yeah.
They say that health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not just the absence of disease.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So in order for us to conclude that you're healthy, you have to be able to realize your potential, you're dealing with your normal stresses, and you are working productively. That is what mental health is.
All right.
So in a nutshell, there's no health without mental health.
Uh-huh. That's very...
But dealing with my stresses...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. So, hey, guys, no, because generally, I think there's no Zimbabwe... Okay, except for maybe children. But most Zimbabweans will say they are stressed. Like, they may not say it to you, but you ask someone, oh, how are you doing? Ah, the response is always like a evasive answer, or it's my wine, or asha. But usually the responses that you get are not of people who are okay. Like, they might say they're okay, but you can tell that probably they're not.
Yeah.
So would you say that Zimbabwe right now is a healthy nation in terms of mentally? Or do you think there's actually a lot of work that needs to be done for everyone, like baseline everyone?
Well, I think we have problems,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people are struggling.
Yeah.
And this is why we're having this conversation, to maybe look into what mental health is and just trying to learn the different mental illnesses that we have.
Mm.
And stress, like you say, Tanya, will sometimes cause a mental illness called depression, which is quite common in Zimbabwe right now.
Yeah.
And from the research that we've done, and Primo will maybe say more about this, we've found that one in every four people will go to local clinics complaining of other things, maybe like BP. They've gone there to get their BP medication.
Yeah.
And diabetes and other things, have depression, but they don't know it.
What?
Yeah. And so according to research in Zimbabwe,
Okay, so when you speak of depression, right, how do you actually know that someone is depressed? What do you use to measure?
So there's different questionnaires that are used. Mm-hmm. That will have the symptoms that someone would usually exhibit if they have depression, for example.
I want to know these symptoms.
So, the depression symptoms would be...
For depression in Zimbabwe, we have a screening tool called the Shona Symptoms Questionnaire.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been translated into Ndebele now. Mm. So it has depression symptoms and anxiety symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So for depression, mainly you look at low mood for most of the days in 2 weeks.
All right.
So if for the past 2 weeks you've had a low mood for most of the days, that's one symptom.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have low energy, and if you've lost interest or enjoyment in doing things. And then we also look at five other things. So on top of those three, we look at five other things. Are you eating well? Are you sleeping well? Do you have a low self-esteem?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at yourself, do you think you're a failure? And then the other one that's very important is, do you have any suicidal thoughts?
Mm.
So most of the times, if depression is severe, you might have suicidal thoughts. But it's not true for everyone who has depression.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's levels to it?
Yes.
What are the levels?
Okay, so when depression is a bit severe and you haven't been diagnosed and you haven't received any treatment, so you might have hopelessness in such a way that you start feeling suicidal and killing yourself becomes an option.
Yeah.
I think they say in every 40 seconds, someone in the world will commit suicide right now.
Those every 40 seconds?
Yeah.
Mm. 40 seconds?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you keep if we keep quiet for 40 seconds, someone in the world will kill themselves.
Guys?
Yeah.
I did not know this.
And suicide is highly associated with depression.
Is that because depression is something that you can function with it? So even if you have it, you might you yourself or those around you might not necessarily know that you have it.
Yes. But it'll come to a time when it affects functioning.
Yeah,
so you can't go to work the way you used to, or you're not going to school the way you used to. But most of the time, yes, people will suffer from depression and people will not know. And this is what has been happening in Zimbabwe. This is why we're talking about it now.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Thank you for that. We're gonna come back to to this subject, but right now I want us to just switch over to Courtney, who's here. So Courtney is someone that I've actually known for a long time. He's a rapper. This guy, he just
got bars.
Yeah, he's got bars.
31 girl.
Yeah. So Courtney, I think in a nutshell, well, briefly rather, if you can just take us through your journey and what you went through, and just share with us.
Okay.
And how you managed to overcome.
Okay, so then until now. All right. Where do I start? Okay, so I'll just start from the time where I discovered it. So last year, January, March, April, May, yeah, somewhere around there, we did a tour. So as you said, do music. Did a tour, went to Malawi. And it was a week-long tour. It was a great tour, but it was a difficult tour. It was a highly stressful tour. Not sleeping, traveling. Then you kind of didn't know what the next day would hold. It was just like, we're here today, we're doing this, and then tomorrow, like, we wake up, we know we're going, like, traveling from one city to the next city, but we don't quite sure know when and how and, you know, all of this stuff. And you're in a foreign land.
Yeah.
So you're not comfortable. You're not thinking, it's going to be okay. It's not like, I'm in Mutare. I'll figure out a way to get to Arara. You know, it's totally different. So about 5 days in, I remember I stayed up late preparing a sermon because I had to speak as well the day before because there was a conference.
So this is a Christian
tour. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
A conference, and then the day after that was a show. So around day five, I was extremely exhausted. Like, and just before we were heading back to the hotel room, like, we had to do another detour, and that just, I think my stress meter just went. Like, I was just, like, I had it. I just wanted to go. Of course, no one could see it. It was inside of me.
Okay.
And that's a big, that's a bad thing, though. But anyway, I kept it in. And we had to go somewhere else. Then we still had to go for dinner. This was like 11 o'clock in the night. Mm. And at the time, I used to eat with my eyes. So they brought out, like, amazing crocodile and all the stuff. And I was just like, I'm just going to eat this stuff. Now, note, I'm super exhausted. I'm so tired, but so, and I have a heavy meal. I'm feeling stuffed. We get back to the hotel room around 12. I said, let me have a hot shower. Have a hot shower afterwards. Sleep tiredness is gone. Jump in the bed. I'm awake. I'm trying to sleep. I can't sleep. I made the mistake of checking my pulse, and my heart is just doof, 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 just going. So, first thing I think is, I'm getting a heart attack, I'm dying. You know, something's happening to me. Managed to last throughout that night, but didn't sleep. sweating, just up and down to the bathroom. So weird when I think of it now. A heart attack that lasts 5-6 hours. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I wouldn't know. You know. But anyway, we were traveling in the morning to another city, from Lilongwe to Blantyre, and so I only got checked by a doctor in Blantyre. So I had thought that, okay, my blood pressure's high, and for sure there was a meter there, and they checked my blood pressure. I was like, crazy, like 100 and something over like 100 and something. Like, it was funny, yeah.
Yeah.
Get there, get checked. Anyway, I managed to make it through the tour, get back home, go to the doctors. I'm getting checked for, as you said, blood pressure and stuff.
Mm.
And they put me on a light, you know, not heavy medication, but just something for a month to kind of, and they say, just walk a bit, do exercises and stuff. I don't know. My heart is just racing. From time to time, I'd find myself. So after the tour, I found myself back in hospital, like about, yeah, twice. Because one night, I'm sleeping, I wake up, my heart is racing. Again, I think I'm having a heart attack. So let's go to the doctors, get there. They check everything. They look, they check for blood clots, they check for, you know, anything that could be a problem.
Mm.
Everything's fine. Okay. A few weeks later, happens again. I was working out, get back home. Instead of my heart rate going down, it spikes.
Mm.
I race myself to the hospital.
Yeah.
Mm. Get checked. Of course, they say, yeah, tachycardia, did you see somebody? I'm like, no, because I would see my local GP, and they were just like, ah, it's probably going to go away. Anyway, so long story short, the second time I found myself in the hospital, that's when they referred me to a heart specialist. I went to the heart specialist, did all the tests known to man.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she was like, I think you might have health anxiety. So she referred me to a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw the psychiatrist, that's when I found out that, okay, this thing is actually real and it can actually affect
health anxiety.
Yeah, like anxiety, mental health, like the power of that we have, like our brains can affect
our physical
being, like so much so we don't even realize it.
That's crazy.
And so that's when I started the journey on to becoming healthier and better. So yeah, and I'm still on that journey, because one thing you learn about this thing is that there's never a...
You've arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So do you reckon the first time when your pulse was racing, that was like an anxiety attack or a panic attack or something?
Yeah, panic attack.
Okay.
Panic attack, yeah.
Yeah, sorry to say, but that's such a white thing, hey? When I hear it, I never picture a black person in my head.
After chowing all that guaz.
I'm sorry. Like, generally, if someone says to you, I had a panic attack, would you not just side-eyed and like...
Who?
I used to think the same thing. I used to actually, like, think people just want an attention. Look at them breathing in and out. What is that?
Mm.
But it's something you would not wish on anybody.
Yeah.
Mm.
You literally lose control. You have no control over your body. Mm.
So what I want to ask, right, just as a follow-up to what you're sharing, Courtney, there's this general belief that as a Christian,
mm-hmm.
you know, we talk about having a sound mind, we talk about how we have the mind of Christ, and even within the church, especially, you know, African church, Zimbabwean church, it's taboo almost, mm-hmm. you know, to hear people talk about mental health and things like that, because it's almost associated with not being prayerful enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So what I want to know, so you are on a Christian tour, you're preaching and performing, spreading the gospel, performing all of that stuff, right? And this happens.
Mm-hmm.
So how do the two tally? Like, I'm like, but then you're working for God, bruv. Like, you know? What happened to the sound mind and to the mind of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and to
be not anxious?
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said we talk about sound mind. We talk about it, but it's more than just talking about it. There has to be some ways that we put it into practice. And by going to therapy, that's where I learned how to put those things into practice. Because I know, like, we can, like, for example, Romans 8:1, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
But then you mess up and you feel condemned. Yeah. Like, you're beating on yourself. But the Bible just says there's no condemnation. So there's one thing to talk about it. There's another thing to actually walk in it and live it. So I think there's a disconnect at the end of the day. A lot of the stuff that we do is really, we do it religiously and we don't know the practicality behind it. Right. I think we have this idea that God is going to magically renew your mind. God is going to magically fix your situation. And there's this false notion also that when you come to Christ, everything just cleans up. Everything just gets tidy. Well, in fact, you know, when Paul was called, one of the things that Jesus said to him, or said to the guy who opened his eyes, was that I've called him and he's going to suffer for my name. Paul was called into a life of suffering for the name of Jesus. That is a heavy load to take.
Yeah.
So I think when we look at, we can only look at the one side and not the other. Mm. There's the part where we talk about things, yes, but then there's the practical side of it. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just trying to imagine myself in your situation, and I'm having whatever heart palpitations or whatever the case may be. I'm pretty sure if I was to text my mom and be like, this is what's happening to me, she would either like maybe pray on the phone with me or ask me, or she'd assume it's not a panic attack, but a spiritual attack of some sort. Because, I mean, that's how most very prayerful people are conditioned. Like, their first response is not that you're having an anxiety attack. They must think it's the enemy who's come for you and wants you to be messed up while you're trying to preach the gospel, and they'll assume this must be a spiritual issue.
That was my what I held to, I think, in the beginning. The whole idea, you know, a lot of people say, Malawi, Malawi. So I did everything from pray over myself with, like, oil. I you know, and I'm a conservative person generally.
But you
like,
get the oil, bro.
I'm a conservative person, but I was driven to the point where I was so desperate.
Yeah.
Anybody or anything that seemed to offer a solution, I would try it.
Yeah.
So there was a gentleman also who I know from, you know, online, and he's a good friend, let me just put it that way, of mine. And he came and he was like, no, we're going to do deliverance on you and what and what. And we prayed and what and what. And still inside, I felt like, nah. And next few days, boom, back again. So, you know, you feel like
went properly delivered. There was still some
you see, and that's another one of the things that I discovered is that is another cause of anxiety within the church.
Mm.
Yeah.
This
Pretty,
whole
I might have
I'm it. Not no I'm not doing it properly.
Oh.
I'm not living up to. Or I'm not getting it. Or I'm not doing it the right way. Or maybe I need to give enough. It's you get into this whole works gospel, and it leads you into like anxiety, and then you get depressed because it just doesn't work the way people say it should work.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah.
Interesting. I want to just move back to the ladies. So I'm very curious because I want to understand there seems to be this, this whole belief, right? That there's also this spiritual side of things, and you guys deal with, I guess you deal with things from a
empirical,
scientific sort of viewpoint. Is, how did I even ask this? Is there a link? Or are there cases? Okay. Let me ask it this way.
Mm.
Do you believe that it's simply an illness, and that there's no other things at the back there? You know? Those things.
I think it is an illness, but I think with mental illness, it's. The reason why it's quite difficult to conceptualize is you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're sick and you have a headache and, you know, you go to the doctor, or, you know, you're sick, you can't walk, people can see. And the first thing they want to do is get you to the doctor,
right,
you know. And with mental health, with mental illness, it's not like that.
Right.
Because you can't see it. And sometimes when people do see it, or when people do realize that this person is sick, they're already quite, you know, advanced. Yeah. Like, it could have been prevented.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it is an illness. Just as you can, you know, get hypertension and...
Or your broken leg.
Yeah, or broken leg.
Or broken hand. Yeah. And I think the reason why maybe mental illness is a bit confusing is that most of the symptoms, like for psychosis, mm-hmm. you're seeing things other people cannot see.
What psychosis, maybe, by the way?
Okay, so when you have you know your guy, the guy you see in the streets, mm-hmm. Black clothes, and he's been there, he's running away from things that you can see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one condition, and it's called schizophrenia.
Okay.
So when you have that, you see things that other people cannot see.
Right.
You hear things that other people cannot hear. Mm. And I'm sure there's an explanation about that in the spirit world.
Okay. Yeah. Hallucinations. Yeah, good.
So we call them hallucinations.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And they might be called other things in religion. But we are able to distinguish what that this is a bit religious. Mm-hmm. When someone comes to me and says, I see God,
mm-hmm.
and I'm talking to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can easily tell that this is not a hallucination. It's a belief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But, there
are some things that are obvious, that this person is running away from a monster and they're hearing someone saying voices, and most of the times the voices are scary or... they could cause paranoia.
Okay.
It's someone out to get you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we know that they're auditory hallucinations or visionary hallucinations.
Okay.
So that's psychosis.
All right.
Yeah. And then you see other symptoms. It's not just the hallucinations, but they're disorganized. They're doing things that you don't understand. Mm-hmm. They're dysfunctional, etc. So we know it's a condition.
Yeah.
So I see an impostor who's seeing visions and all of that. Mm. Yeah.
But how, for a religious person who's hearing voices and seeing things, they assume that it's God. How do you help someone like that if they genuinely think that they're hearing from angels?
So if they end up in the hospital or with a psychiatrist, the psychiatrist will be able to see.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
All right. So, and then I guess I actually want to move the conversation over to Zim,
like,
to where we are right now.
Mm.
Our country is going through a lot of nonsense, right? We've been here for a long time, but I think right now, yeah, it just seems like it's peaked. Mm. And if you just go onto Twitter and see people venting, like last night I checked out a tweet. The Minister of Sports, Kirsty Coventry, posted something about how, you know, how Zim has been, we've been removed from COSAFA. I don't really follow that stuff. But anyway, then I went into the comments. So her logic actually made sense, just about the reason why they took that direction.
Mm.
Then people, I'm like, guys, there is no logical connection between what she said and what you're saying. And people were, so I just don't know. I think people are just losing it.
That's what
guys.
I see.
Right. So what I want to know, right, is as a nation, we're going through this really difficult time. There's obviously a sense of hopelessness in many people's minds, hearts.
Mm.
You guys have, you know, you understand this whole space. I guess the question I have is, what are the risks that the average Zimbabwean runs right now, or rather faces, based on everything that's going on?
Mm.
Yes. And I'm talking about mental health risks.
Okay. So, like I said, there are quite a number of mental illnesses. I think the diagnostic tool that we have is over 500 different mental illnesses.
What?
So, depending on what you're going through and how that affects you, we could be talking about trauma-related illnesses. Mm. So, like if you experience something traumatic, or if you're going through severe human suffering and all of that,
yeah.
that can cause post-traumatic stress disorder. And then we talked about depression.
PTSD,
yes. We talked about depression, and depression is highly associated with stress and not managing. Mm-hmm. And then we talked, he's been talking about anxiety.
Yeah.
So that comes from worrying, and you're worrying about worrying, and it goes on and on and on like that. So you might end up with an illness called anxiety. or health anxiety, like he was worried about his health, and you worry about your health, and then you're worried about worrying about your health, and then it becomes a vicious circle.
Sure.
What other common ones do we have? Substance use disorder.
Right.
So you have problems and you're trying to numb your pain using alcohol, and then it becomes a habit, and then before you know it, you're dependent, and after some time, you will have alcohol-induced psychosis or alcohol abuse disorder, or other drugs like your cocaine, etc. And we've got all of that going on in Zimbabwe.
If I take painkillers to sleep, is that okay?
You become addicted to them, so that's a problem.
They become the pseudo.
But I need to sleep.
So when you find yourself not sleeping, it means there's a problem.
Yeah.
So it could be depression. It could be anxiety. It could be anything. Mm. But not sleeping is a symptom of it's something not right.
Okay. I woke up, but my kids, I know we are 11. So I need to be awake from 11 to 5.
Yeah. But as long as you're getting 6 hours of continuous sleep, then at we won't point. Ask you anything.
Okay.
But if you find yourself like, okay, so not sleeping at all, or sleeping and then getting up at 3 and then you're awake and you're looking at the wall until 6 a.m. and then you have to go to work and then the next night is the same thing, then we know there's a problem.
But then what about if someone is just going through a rough patch, for example, right, where it's not like depression per se.
Yeah.
They're just sad because of things that are going on, or, you know, they're just going through some difficult things in their life, and they're just not in a happy place. How then do you distinguish that and the actual
depression
condition?
You have to tick certain boxes. So like I said, we look at the first three. A low mood for most of the time, low energy, and loss of interest. If you tick yes to those three, we look at five other things. And then we also look at your functioning for us to conclude that you have depression. So we don't just say this is depression because you're sad.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So back to... Oh, yes, sorry.
And I was going to say maybe... You can say more about the duration of it and...
So we look at the duration as well. For us to conclude that it's anxiety, you'd have been worried and worrying about the worrying for at least 6 months. And then for depression, we look at 2 weeks. So if you've been sad for most of the time for the past 2 weeks, in the past 2 weeks, then we conclude that it's not sadness, but depression.
Yeah, like when I was going through what I went through. I went through it for about 6 months. So what I was diagnosed with was an adjustment disorder, not a full-blown anxiety. Because it's when you have a heightened reaction to a known stressor, and it lasts for about 6 or so months.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that's about the time when I was having all the power, the panic attacks and all of that stuff.
So I guess everything that we're talking about are risk factors for certain conditions. They are triggers, but it doesn't mean that all the people will end up with depression or anxiety.
Okay, so back to what you're saying with the symptoms of like psychosis, right? I want to ask you guys, do you believe that it's a two-pronged approach, or you can just have the one and be fine, in that you can either treat it with medicine or you can treat it with prayer? Because there's that story in the Bible where there's the man who's chained up and he's scratching himself. That one. And he was prayed for and he was fine. Like, absolutely fine afterwards. No signs. Well, as far as the story tells us,
he was actually just completely normal afterwards. There was no medicine involved. So do you guys believe that it can be an either-or approach, or it has to be both, or just you as people, not really as your professions? I know we've got a pastor here. I don't know any learned people here, but yeah, just you as people, what do you think is the best approach?
What I believe is that, you know, most of the mental illnesses that are common in Zimbabwe are caused by chemical imbalances. So you do have to take medication at some point for you to correct that chemical imbalance. And if you don't, then you're not going to heal.
Okay.
So we can pray for you. We can cast out the demons. But as long as the chemical imbalance in the brain is not corrected, then you're not going to be well.
Okay.
What happens is that some conditions are emotional, like your depression and anxiety. If the pastor prays for you and you feel like you've been healed, you might be calm for a few hours, and then you believe that you're healed. But because we're talking about the brain and the functioning of the brain, at some point you will need to come back to us. So most of the time, what we do, if people believe that it's a spiritual issue, etc., we'll let you go to the pastor and then do what you have to do. We don't have the right to stop you. But then 99% of the time, people will come back with the same condition and sometimes worse.
He can save
maybe. So I think what we're trying to preach as clinicians is that, you know, if now that we're talking about mental illnesses and these symptoms, you think that someone might have these symptoms and you're not sure if it's spiritual or not, you would rather take them to the hospital so that you rule out Isuzu our side. We give you the medication, and if the medication doesn't work, please take them to the pastor.
I remember,
and then not the other way around.
I remember when I had just had one major panic attack. I had a call from a friend of mine in Cape Town, and this person was saying, we were just talking, I didn't even know if it was a panic attack or not, we just thought it was a health problem. This was before we did, I did all the research and whatever, and the tests and stuff. And this person was saying, when someone is sick, usually, like in the church, like you can see that, I don't know, they have some sort of sickness. You'll pray for them, but you'll still advise them, go to the doctor, go get seen, make sure you're eating healthy, make sure you're doing all these things. But then when it comes to mental issues or mental health problem, we just believe, we're going to pray this problem away and go. And there's no shame, because also I think that's the thing, there's no shame in going to a doctor to say, I think I have a mental problem. Because I know you said it like you're like, we don't use that word like mad earlier on, but that's our predisposition, I guess, when it comes to mental health. We think that if I'm not mentally healthy, then I'm mad, I'm crazy, and it's not the case. Like
the stigma is huge.
A stigma. So look, for me, in terms of the link, I don't know how far it goes. Of course, everything in the spiritual impacts on the physical. To what extent, I'm not going to sit here and act like I know. I don't. But what I do know is that we are given the tools to work on those things. Even in the scriptures, in the law, the Levites or the priests were given tools on how to help people. Basically, they were doctors. If you'd come, if they saw a red spot, they'll tell you, stay away for 7 days or whatever, then come back and we'll see. So if God also gives us physical tools to deal with these things, of course, then we have the responsibility to take those things up. We can't just say, I'll pray it away. It's okay. I'll just go for deliverance. We actually have to put the effort in and being practical.
That's good. And on that note, I actually want us to then talk about how can people safeguard themselves from, you know, some of these conditions that you guys have spoken about. Again, I'll come back to Zim and everything that's going on. Instead of being a victim of, you know, everything that's going on, how can you protect yourself? How can you guard yourself? And what are some steps that you recommend that people take to protect themselves from all those
thing. Okay, so just like you take care of your physical health, you need to take care of your mental health.
Yeah.
The reason why maybe we don't take care of our mental health is because whatever is happening in the head and we're not watching what's happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you need to learn coping skills. You need to manage your stress. You need to, we were talking about thinking positively, but how do you think positively? Yeah. You have to learn to think about what you're thinking of and be able to see that maybe the way I'm thinking is not helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we talk about unhelpful thoughts. In any situation, if you have an unhelpful thoughts, then it means that your situation is just going to get worse. Mm. So we need to learn how to think positively as well. But that's a process. I always say you don't wake up thinking positively. It's a process that you have to learn. And there are people out there who are there to teach you how to do these things.
Yeah, okay.
So take care of yourself. Coping mechanisms, stress management, sleep well. Eat well, because then if you don't take care of your physical health, then that affects your mental health as well. Exercise. God has given us, you know, happy hormones, endorphins. If you exercise, you release happy hormones. Mm. So exercise, that's good for your physical and your mental health.
But marijuana can also make you happy. Hey?
Short-term.
Happy plant.
Marijuana will actually give you hallucinations. Oh, and it's one of the
triggers
for psychosis.
Yeah.
So if you go to the annex right now, most of the guys who are there admitted because of schizophrenia, it's related to drug use.
Wow. Okay.
And I think also related to what she's saying, if you then find yourself in a space where you are not okay,
mm-hmm.
I think everyone should be encouraged to seek help.
You know,
it may not be you know, going to the hospital, but you know, speaking to someone.
Yeah.
I think it can go a long way rather than isolating yourself, and you know, that's when all these thoughts will then manifest themselves.
Yeah.
So I think, really, seeking help is key.
And then maybe talk about mental health in families.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to talk about mental health.
Right, yeah.
Like we said before, when you're mentally ill, sometimes it's just the same as having a broken hand. If you have a broken hand, you go to the hospital.
Yeah.
So if it's a mental illness, why are you not going to the hospital?
Yeah.
So let's talk about mental health in our families and let's get rid of the stigma.
Yeah.
Depression, akusikupenga. You know, having anxiety, akusikupenga. Let's have better words for mental illnesses as well and mental health.
Yeah.
Because
it can happen to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your depression can come from problems with your husband or, you know, not being able to feed your family and not feeling like you're a father. And then at some point you're depressed. So it can happen to anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about it as much as we talk about BP, HIV, etc. Okay. So that we get rid of the stigma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is good. And in the church as well, I think it's important.
Oh, it's needed.
You're a pastor, Courtney. What would you advise Christians, especially people who are either in church leadership or, you know, people that are part, that are maybe leading congregations or groups of people? Because I think it's also important for that awareness to be there.
Yeah. For me, I it's simple, but it's difficult at the same time because I think one of the main things that in churches is this false perfection pretense. The person that is a leader or a pastor is perfect. They have everything going for them. Things are perfect in their home. You know, you have, like, if you look at the rate of divorces and stuff in the church, it's quite sad. But when you see, if you see the people, you'd think that everything is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say leading from brokenness, even if you look like at David, before he, when he messed up with Bathsheba, he was a totally different person after. He wasn't like, it's subtle, but he wasn't just so quick to draw his sword and, you know, take someone out. He was leading from a broken place. And I think as church leaders, as pastors, as anyone in authority, any, you know, in any religious circle, is just to lead from a place of honesty and brokenness. This is who I am. This is what I've been through. This is what I've struggled with. Because at the end of the day, we're not coming for you. We're coming to draw closer to Jesus, to God. So instead of making ourselves superhumans that are closer to Him, let's guys be broken just like you, and we assemble here just like you to meet with this awesome God. So it's easy said. You know, we can all say yeah, but there's a whole other side to it. Like, again, people will project, you know, one of the things I think also that cause a lot of depression in churches and with church leaders and stuff is people project this idea of perfection onto their leaders. And so you tend to start trying to live up to that. And, you know, so, yeah, it's easy said. How to do it, I would say just, I don't know how, but just taking the honest step. For me, it's just being honest about who I am, where I'm at. This is what I go through, but I got a God who says my grace is sufficient for you. So we press on.
I just want to know what you would say to that person who is very spiritual, and while they want to get help, for example, you went to a therapist. So, or I don't know if your therapist was Christian or not, but there's some people who struggle with the thought of, how can I go to a worldly person who has wisdom from the world to solve my problem instead of going to my pastor?
So I would say this is probably a podcast, another idea for a podcast, like God and science. How do they match up? Or, you know, and I personally don't see the division. I see God being the source and science being how it's worked out. So when you're talking about like cognitive behavioral therapy or things that how we think and, you know, all of that stuff. I remember sitting, you know, to be honest with you, okay, so this might seem like it's not serious, but I went to the psychiatrist because I was interested. I was like, oh, wow, like, let me go find out what this is all about. This is my, like, finally I get to, you know, get to see a psychologist. So when I was sitting, you know, in the room and listening to everything that she was telling me, I was making links. I was like, wait, this is, it's said in a, with medical terms, but this is just what Paul is saying. Yeah, this is what so-and-so is saying. Yeah, this is what so-and-so is saying there. And so what I did is I started to apply that which I was being told to do, but with scripture. You know, so I don't know, like one of the things, cognitive behavioral therapy. So there's this link between how we think relates to how we feel, and then how we behave, and then we look at how we behaved, and that relates to how we think. So she mentioned the spiral. You're worrying about why. So it's like a spiral. So you have to stop it somewhere, and usually it stops with your thoughts. That's where it will stop, you know, because like Zim, we can't take you out of your environment. So, you know, so it starts here and it stops here. So, knowing that, okay, it starts in my mind. I need to have a changed mind. Paul talks about renewing your mind, you know. And so I'm like, wait, this is all in the scripture. So my interest to revisit that which I believed, knowing that, hey, it talks about this stuff. It's not separated. Just, I don't know, it just, my interest just peaked. And I know I went back a week later and she was like, okay, we will see each other. Basically, when... say you have a flare-up next time, because I was, you know, going on, it was meant to be a weekly basis, but I went for two sessions because she was like, you seem to have caught it. But it's not that. I just made the link between what she was saying and what was written in the scriptures. So I just opened the scriptures and started to apply that which, you know, like I was reading. So, oh yes, so what would I say to a person like that is explore it. Same thing that was said to me. If you're sick, you have a flu, you go and buy Flumel. If something's wrong, you feel like you just... and it's not that something's wrong. It just might be you're living in a state of heightened stress.
Yeah.
Right.
go and see somebody who can help you.
Yeah.
It's simple. And yeah, I was on medication and, you know, I'm not on medication anymore. But just to help during that heightened time when it was really crazy and stuff. Yeah. But I don't see the disconnect, and it's probably something that we need to explore again, because these things have layers, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah.
True.
We'll talk about more of that.
All right. So, in closing, I don't know if you guys can help us with this, but where can we direct people to go to, like here in Sim, if someone thinks that they are not coping well, or they might be trying to handle some of these symptoms of mental disease. They don't have disease in their mind.
Okay. Good comeback.
Yeah. So, could you guys direct us to some places where people could go?
Okay. So, in most of the communities, they now have the friendship bench at the clinic.
Friendship bench.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then,
what is that?
What's the friendship bench?
Okay. Okay. So the friendship bench is a bench outside the clinic, where the lay health workers, like Anambu Yautano, provide help for depression.
Oh.
So they've been trained to screen for depression, and they provide problem-solving therapy.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I didn't know this.
Okay.
It's very popular.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys deal with this every day.
No, I mean the friendship bench, because it's been adapted in New York now. Yeah. And the idea started here in Zimbabwe.
Wow. Amazing. Yes. Why are we popularizing this? you see, those are the things we should be talking about on
Twitter. It's gone global. It's something that we've done right.
But then, you know, the problem with New York now is that they'll turn that into an LGBT item.
Oh, my gosh.
Friendship bench. Adam with like rainbows on his. Anyway, sorry.
So that's one source. And
what
then
is that called in the other languages?
What do you mean?
The friendship bench.
But we just call it the friendship bench.
Yeah. What are the language? What do you think?
China
for sure. So these are in local clinics.
I know your limitations.
That's why I was asking. And then the hospitals at Parinyatwa, there's crisis support center.
Mm-hmm. Parinyatwa. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Harare Hospital also has a psych ward.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then they're private practitioners, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, we're about 20 psychologists and 14 psychiatrists now.
At Pari?
Yeah, in Zimbabwe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay, cool.
This has been a very enlightening discussion. And to our listeners, I really hope that you've managed to assimilate something. This is a big topic, obviously, and, you know, there's a lot that it covers, but it seems like we've just scraped the surface. So begin to do some research, begin to do some thinking. And of course, you know, like you've heard today, that if you're in a space where you're struggling with this, whether you're someone who's like a Christian who goes to Papa Church, Musia Papa, and this guy, woman or clinic, Papa time, Pangu Papa, clinic. Anyway, so.
That's true, though.
Yeah, so that's it. We're done. No closing comments.
Yeah.
So to our guests, thank you so much.
Thank you
for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
All right.
Awesome.
T-Mac,
go
get help.
Bye, everyone. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.